There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you'll only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome to today's WCN TV program. We are broadcasting live, and it's Tuesday, March 10th, 2026. I want to thank you all for being here today. We appreciate you tuning in. I know some of you are watching live on Rumble, and yes, we are back on Facebook. But if you go to WCNTV.net, you can click the little red button that says Join the Studio Audience. And then you'll be able to talk with our guests, ask questions, and share your comments. So I'd encourage you to do that. Today we're going to be talking about the growing persecution of Christians, especially here in the U.S., also in Canada and other Western countries. As Christians, we should expect persecution when we speak the truth and the Word of God. But here in America, that's been rare until recently. Churches are now becoming targets for vandalism and violence. We know about the protesters that were in Minnesota recently, but there's been a lot worse things happening. Last July, two women were killed and two others injured by a shooter at a church in Kentucky. And also over the past year, there have been several churches near Boston that were vandalized. And in 2024, there were 415 attacks on churches involving arson, shootings, bombings, and disruption of services. While we don't get a lot of attention from these stories, there have been hundreds of cases of vandalism and arson at churches here in the U.S. every year for about the past 10 years. Pastors who are basically people pleasers really don't have to deal with much of that. But pastors who are courageous enough to actually preach the whole Word of God without compromise have also become targets. Today, we're blessed to welcome two courageous pastors to the program, and one you know, one you're going to get to know here today. So let's welcome our guest today. It's Pastor Art Pawlowski, joining us from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, along with Pastor Sean Hamm from Red Deer, Alberta. Art and Sean, welcome to WCN TV, and thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us on.
Yes, it's always a blessing when you're. I haven't met Pastor Sean yet, but it's always a blessing to see Pastor Art. So, let's start with Pastor Art. Maybe you can tell us about your history a little bit. I know most of our viewers probably know all about you, but for those who are new, you came from a socialist nation and ended up in Canada. Tell us what that was like and how you ended up in Canada.
Yes, I, as very quickly your listeners will be able to pick it up, I grew up behind the Iron Curtain with my wife under the boots of socialism and communism in a very peculiar country in Poland. For those that do not know, Poland was the first country that was attacked by the Nazis, and then in 1945 was taken over by the Soviets. And from that moment on, we had communism, socialism, confiscation of our property. There was no rights. Constitution was ignored. And, of course, tens of thousands of people were murdered, slaughtered. Country was completely destroyed. And so I grew up in the 70s and 80s seeing the atrocities of communism and socialism. And for those young people that are cheering, you know, let's go socialism, I have a message. Go to China, go to North Korea, go to Cuba, go there for a year, live among the people, and then come back and advocate for communism and socialism, because I'm telling you, very quickly you will change your mind. I grew up in hell with my wife, and in 1980s, we witnessed the revolution. We witnessed the Polish people rising up with God, and then eventually the Iron Curtain was broken, and communism collapsed, and Poland was liberated with the rest of Europe. But during that time, it was a crazy time. We don't have enough time for me to go through it. My parents decided to escape. We escaped on a boat to Greece, and then from Greece, we were allowed to come to Canada. After a meeting in Canadian embassy in Athens, where Canadian authorities lured us into the country, telling us that Canada is the freest country on earth, and in Canada, no one will ever persecute us for our faith. And of course, that's laughable right now. After 360 citations and so many arrests that my lawyers don't even remember, and over 100 court cases, and we're still in court as we speak. So that's a little bit of a background. When I teach about communism and socialism, I teach a lot about history. I know what I'm talking about. I did not write a book about what happened. We lived through hell. We know how dangerous this ideology is. And for those viewers and listeners of yours, I want you to know that communism is not coming. Socialism is not coming, or the hybrid, as I call it, fascism, socialism, and communism combined together is not coming. It's already here. And that's why you have the attacks on the churches as we speak right now. And of course, we are living right now with Sean in a country that on a regular basis is under attack. Christianity is under ongoing attack, persecution, prosecution, over 120 churches burned down right now. And this is a norm. It has become a norm. Our church was lit on fire. Our church's bus was burned to the ground. My house was lit on fire. And of course, I was attacked physically, pistols, knives, stones, vandalism on a regular basis, many, many, many times, including imprisonment, metal cages, solitary confinement, and the financial attack on us is absolutely brutal. The new tactic of the communism, socialism, fascism government right now in Canada is a process. It becomes your punishment. What they're trying to do is to destroy us financially. So that's a little bit in a nutshell, you know, what we're facing. We are witnessing a repetition of history, and everyone that has eyes and ears can clearly see it. The level of propaganda that we are being subjected to, I can only compare to the level of propaganda I witnessed growing up behind the Iron Curtain. And Russia has this very interesting newspaper. It's called Pravda. Pravda in Russian means the truth. But I'm telling you, everything the government is saying is untrue, just like the Canadian government. Every time they open their mouth, they have an agenda, and their agenda is not good. The Bible is very clear. Known are to us the devices of the enemy. So in other words, we know what the enemy is doing. We have seen it before. And now the question is very simple. What are we together in unity, what are we going to do about it?
Well, and as most of you know, Pastor Art has been through hell in Canada simply for being who he is and doing what he does. I was going to save this for later, but he has written this book. Can y'all see that? And Art, maybe tell us about how this came to be.
Well, in the Bible, it says that what enemy meant for evil, God uses for good. And that's exactly the story of this book. I was locked up like the worst, most dangerous criminal in solitary confinement. I received a document from the Canadian government telling me that I am so crazy dangerous that I have to be housed alone. The document, which I included in a book, actually states that I'm dangerous for the facility and for the staff, and no human interactions allowed. So when they locked me like an animal and they kept me in metal cages, from time to time when I was let go, the inmates would slip under my door pieces of paper. And I decided, okay, if I have found myself in this absolute insanity for, again, you got to remember, what was my crime? My crime was keeping the church's doors open, preaching the truth, the biblical truth, and a refusal to bow before the golden muzzle, as I call it during that time, you know, the golden statue of the modern day Nebuchadnezzar. That's what, you know, landed me in prison. So I decided, if I'm already here, I hate wasting time, so let me just tell the people my story. So I started to go back. What happened that got me into this solitary confinement? So I started to write down everything I was observing day by day, what was being done to me, the stripped naked craziness, the metal cages, solitary confinement, concrete cells, no water, no washroom. I was kidnapped multiple times by armed officers, taken, you know, hours away and locked in psych ward, like, you know, the Soviet style. So I kept documenting everything. And also I gave the people the background. And also I wanted the people to know that we have seen this movie before. And I included a lot of history that I remembered, you know, growing up in Poland, listening from grandparents, and of course, witnessing with my own eyes what communism and socialism is all about. And don't kid yourself, what they've done to us during the COVID era, that was tyranny. That was dictatorship, plain and simple. It was hybrid communism, socialism, and fascism combined together. People were murdered, and they're still being murdered by the jobs and all kinds of different things that the government did to them and still is doing to them here in Canada. So I documented all of that. And believe it or not, I know this is kind of a shocker. It's still a shocker to me, kind of flattering, that this book, the manuscript, was confiscated by the Canadian government 3 times. So imagine, whatever I included there, all my, you know, writings, including what was happening to me, but also the history, theology, of course, God was unloading a mini sermons into my heart. And when you are in a solitary confinement, I'm telling you, when you're hurting, your ears are tuned to God. I don't know how to explain it, but when you're hurting, you hear him better. So I would encourage you sometimes to go through a little bit of hurting. That will clean your spiritual ears for sure, and you will be able to hear him clearer. So I included those things that he was telling me, the mini sermons, as I call them. And it scared them so much that they confiscated, Canadian government confiscated my book 3 times already. And to this day, they're giving me a hard time to bring the book through the border because our publisher is American. So sometimes they would send me the books, and every single time there are issues, there are problems. Sometimes they would stop the book at the border and send them back. So it's very dangerous. And that's why I encourage you to get it, to find out what is there that Satan is terrified of. And you can get the book on Amazon.ca for the Canadians, Lions Do Not Bow, or you can get it for the Americans, Amazon.com. And you can get it there. And if you don't like Amazon, I know some people don't like it, you can get it directly from the distributor. And you can find out information on my Facebook page, Artur Pawlowski, or, you know, website, streetchurch.ca as well. But I'm telling you, what is happening right now is crazy. We, the Christians, we are attacked left and right now, financially, through the court system, through the media, and of course, the physical hostility of the people. I don't think we have ever seen something like this before?
Well, you know, Pastor Art, the Apostle Paul did quite a bit of writing while he was in prison also. And I've said multiple times, if Paul were around today, the church in America would be getting a letter, and it wouldn't be good. I'm thinking maybe you should step in, and I think you did, and here's the letter. So
yeah, I think I would go even further. It would be the churchgoers that would call the police on Apostle Paul. And I truly mean it, especially in this country. It would be the Christians. I don't know what is happening right now to the so-called Christians and the so-called churches in the West. But, you know, Pastor Sean, we talked before we went live. What is happening? What has happened to the so-called Christians in North America is unbelievable. The level of attack, the level of hatred, the level of gossip and slander, and the attacks that are coming from within the ranks, I don't think I have ever seen it before, telling you the truth. I mean, the level of hostility that the real deal is getting from the goats is unprecedented, in my opinion. Every single day, I see Christians or the people that call themselves Christians attacking other Christians. And you know what is the saddest part of the story? That they are not bringing any evidence. They're not bringing any, you know, truth and facts. It's usually about feelings or other interpretations or what other people think that you have done. And I'm looking at what is happening to the West, and I'm thinking, don't you get it that we have a bigger fish to fry? That same fish wants to eat you, and the same fish wants to eat me. And it reminds me, of course, what Jesus said, the house divided cannot stand, and the divide and conquer is the game right now. So I would just throw that in. Stop it. If you're doing it, pause and think, why are you doing this? What is the end game? What is the purpose of this ongoing, unbelievable attack on other human beings? You know, I said quite often to the people here in Canada, I said, well, if you want to expose someone, if you want to really, let's say, attack someone, well, you know, not physically, but on internet, well, look what the government is doing to us. We've just slaughtered over 100,000 Canadians, mostly white Canadians, through assisted suicide in the past few years. We are murdering about 100,000 innocent children, mostly white, in Canada. We are destroying ourselves from within, and we are replacing those innocent people, those slaughtered people that have been given on the altar of Molech, and we are replacing them with our worst enemies. The people, the foreigners that hate us, want us dead, want us destroyed, and they are doing it just like they're doing in England. You know, if I had the power, and I said that many times, that's why they hate me and they are terrified of me. I said, if I was the king, let's say, if I had the power, those politicians would be charged with treason in a state, in Canada, in England, in Australia, in New Zealand, in France, in Germany, in Ireland, in Netherlands, all those countries that used to work for the people, they are no longer work for the people. I mean, United States, it's a little bit different right now because in my opinion, don't hate me for it, but in my opinion, you have the best, in my opinion, administration ever. I mean, maybe the founding fathers were better, but right now, in my opinion, what this administration is doing, they're not perfect. Don't get me wrong. But what they're doing is amazing. I mean, they are liberating countries right now. We just had thousands of Iranians in Calgary at City Hall dancing and crying and singing for the liberation of their country. I mean, it's not done, it's not over, it takes time. But I think that Americans are so different from the West because the Americans are slowly but surely are moving to the right. In my opinion, you're moving slowly to the right. Canadians and the rest of the West openly is moving to the left. In other words, they're not embracing God. Look, in just a few months, you're going to rededicate United States of America back to God. I mean, that's incredible. That's like, wow. In Canada, you don't even find a politician that mentions God. Never mind quoting the scripture or rededicating this country back to God. I mean, this is like, it has not been happening for a very long time. So I think the Americans are doing it the right way. You're moving towards God. You're inviting him back into your affairs. In Canada, in other Western countries, it's the opposite. The hostility against God of the Bible, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is absolutely insane. So what that tells me, gentlemen, is that judgment is set and those people are going to be judged. It's going to be brutal. And out of the misery, out of the difficulty, people are going to cry out to God. I see no other way. I see no other way. There's no repentance. There is not even a willingness from the churches to come together and do anything together. Nothing. There's no repentance. There's no revival. There's almost nothing happening. Usually when something bigger is happening, because outsider comes in, an American or somebody else comes into our cities and stirs the pot. But, you know, I can't even get few pastors together to pray, to organize something, to worship God. It's so sad.
That's not surprising. You had mentioned the situation with the churches being attacked from within. And I think what we need to start with is the definition of the church. And the definition of the church is the ecclesia, the called out ones. Basically, when the church gathers, they're supposed to be solid Christ-following believers, and they're supposed to be training people up for the work of the ministry. Instead, what we have now is everyone's welcome. Everyone just come on in. It's a big social club. And so at that point, you have some solid believers, and you have mostly, you know, marginal people that just want to really kind of feel good about themselves. So that has caused our pastors to be afraid to offend those people. So now you have the unrepentant, unregenerated sinners dictating what's spoken of from the pulpit. And so that's, in my opinion, that's what's happened.
Yeah, I want to introduce Pastor Sean. Pastor Sean is a very interesting gentleman. We've met during the biggest attack on our lives ever seen in this country. It was 5 years ago. And Pastor Sean at that time was a politician. And I know that's a shocker, especially for the Canadians, because again, we pretty much have no politicians that are willing to acknowledge Jesus Christ publicly. But Pastor Sean was willing to do that. And also he was persecuted by his own denomination, by the church that he used to pastor. So that's how we have met. And very quickly, we have become friends and we started to do things together. Pastor Sean, just like our church, is feeding hundreds of homeless people every week on the streets of his city, Red Deer, which is about an hour and a half from Calgary, where I live. And very quickly, Pastor Sean has found out that when you do it the God's way, when you're vocal, when you're willing to do it his way, there is price attached to it. So he was gossiped about, he was slandered in the news, he was attacked, guilty by association, all kind of crazy things. He has been going through, of course, attacks on the church, vandalism, I remember when he invited me to speak, there was the plastered, the whole neighborhood, you know, how wicked of a people pastors we are. But he stood strong. He still is standing strong. And he has not once stopped doing what God called him to do. So there's not many pastors like this, especially here. Not many willing to go all the way, no matter what, no matter what the enemy is putting out there. So, Pastor Sean, we have been doing stuff together. We have been organizing different events together and partnering and supporting each other. And I'm telling you, if we had more pastors like Sean Hum, this country would be completely different. Canada has fallen. But Canada has fallen because the church failed, and the church leaders refused to do what God called the leaders in the church to do, to be the light in the darkness, to be the salt of the earth, to go out and not just stay. Jesus didn't say, go, you know, stay and build me a cathedral and build me a, you know, massive building. He said, going into all the world and preach the gospel to our creation. So, Pastor Sean?
Let me just jump in here quickly. So, Pastor Art, you have Street Church Calgary, and Pastor Sean has Street Church Red Deer. Is that a church plant that you did, Pastor Art? Are you affiliated together, or is that just a coincidence?
So here's what happened, which is kind of an amazing story. And, you know, about what was 5 years ago, when we were marching through the streets of our cities, and I was traveling all over the place and trying to bring hope into this hopelessness, this craziness. And then one day, I'll never forget that Saturday, Pastor Sean, I've never met him. I didn't know who he was. He came to me, and during those rallies, during those marches, when we had thousands of people, I was very busy running around, filming, and of course, watching the police, because they were arresting me, you know, like someone is eating ice cream, you know, every second day. And so I was watching the craziness, and Sean comes to me, and he shares a little bit. He says, I just want to talk to you. I want to shake your hand. And I said, well, if you're willing to walk with me, you know, let's go. And off I went, and Sean, you know, went with me, and we chatted, and he shared his story with me, which is a remarkable story. He was a pastor of one of the biggest churches in the area, and he was fired. He was fired as a pastor for the truth. They hated the truth so much that they fired him. And as he was sharing his story with me, I thought, that's an amazing story. And I said to Pastor Sean, would you like to share it in our church next week? And he says, like, what, next week? Yeah, just come and share your story. That's it. The pulpit doesn't belong to me. The pulpit is God. We're just stewards. We are just doing our best to communicate the message. But the message is his. The church doesn't belong to Arthur Pulaski. The church doesn't belong to Sean Holm. It belongs to Jesus. It's his church. So anyway, he comes, he shares his story, which is very powerful, amazing. And he got so inspired. He was so touched. He says, I want to do what you're doing. And immediately he started a church in Red Deer. He says, okay, fine. They fired me. I'm going to start a church that will preach the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And then later on, it's naturally, when you are doing God's way, the Bible is very clear. I mean, there's no subject to interpretation. We are to take care of the poor. We are to feed the homeless. You know, we are to take care of the orphans and the widows. We are to take care of those that cannot take care of themselves. And right away, Pastor Sean with his wife, Sarah, started a street church. But the same way we are doing, I mean, it's a copy-paste. Because it's simple, and I want it that way. I always said to the people, we started over 40 street churches around the world, and I always said to the people, don't complicate things. Don't become the very thing you didn't like. in the first place. Jesus did everything in a very simple way. He hung around with people. He laid hands on them. He healed the sick, fed the poor, preached the truth that was setting the captives free. Worship the living God in public. Give him honor. Feed the poor. Take care of those that you can take care of. And that's it. And that's exactly what Pastor Sean with his wife and his church is doing, and which is remarkable. Which is simple and yet so effective. So effective. Why? Because when you do it God's way, you're going to succeed and people will be set free. When you do it the denominational way or the men's way, what you're actually doing is you are enslaving people, you're controlling people, you are subduing people or luring them into your own organization, which was never, it was never a God's idea. We are to point at God, at Jesus. Everything we do, we should always say, it's all about him. It's not about us. It's not about even feeding the poor. It's not about, you know, meeting in the church. It's always about him. It starts with him, ends with him, and there is a lots of dust between that's you and me. So we work together. We organize stuff together. We just had amazing Americans that came to visit us, what was beginning of January, and we combined our efforts, and we had an amazing success, standing room only, you know, during three events that we did together. So yeah, when I travel, Pastor Sean preaches. When he goes, I do my best to come and cover for him as well. And you know, that's in the end of the day, that's what the church was always supposed to be all about, a family. And that's how I see Pastor Sean with his wife. They are family.
Well, let's give the microphone to Pastor Sean. You have inspired me. And we haven't even heard you speak yet, so let's hear your story.
Thank you for having me on, Rob. It's an honor and privilege. That's what I love about our God. You guys are in America and we're in Canada, but the Holy Spirit transcends the border. And we look at Americans as friends. We love Americans. And we love that you stand for truth and righteousness. And that is what God has called us all to do as believers, is to stand for truth and righteousness. And when I saw Pastor Archer on the freeway during COVID and the police were behind him and they were ready to shoot him, it looked like he was down on his knees and they were standing behind him. And I saw him get dragged in a nice suit on the freeway. And I thought to myself, this is a guy that I need to meet. This is a guy that I need to get with, because I want to see what makes him tick. I want to see what makes this guy tick. And so Pastor Archer talked about our friendship and how God really grew that. And when we attended his church the first time, I saw a man that was preaching the word of God unashamed, the whole gospel message. He wasn't afraid. And when I saw the church, it was like the church, that's what the church should all be about. There was somebody new that first Sunday at the church. And I remember somebody asked him if he needed a ride, because he was going to one of the rallies in Calgary. And they said, right in front of the church, right in front of everybody, can somebody get this guy a ride to the rally? And somebody goes, yeah, I'll get that guy a ride. And then somebody else was speaking about if anybody was sick, they had ivermectin at the back of the church. And I was like, this is an awesome church. But more than all of that, when I heard that they were feeding the poor three times a week, it really spoke to me. And I remember driving back to Red Deer, which is about an hour and a half drive. And I was talking to my wife, Sarah, and I said, we need a church like that in Red Deer, a church that'll preach the gospel, a church that'll feed the poor. Because most churches, as you know, I'm sure America is the same way, but most churches are all about themselves. They're all about their programs and their fancy buildings and things like that. And Jesus actually went to the poor. Jesus spent most of his time with people that nobody wanted to spend time with. In fact, the religious leaders of the day said to him when he was eating with the poor and people like that, they were saying to him, why are you eating with such scum? Why are you eating with these people? And so Jesus led the way. It wasn't a suggestion to the church. It was a commandment for the church to take care of the poor. And so it was an easy decision for us to make. But as soon as I just aligned with Pastor Archer, you can imagine some of the backlash that I got. All of a sudden, my name was spray painted all across downtown Red Deer. I was called a racist, a false prophet. They even called me a charlatan, which I hadn't heard that term for quite a while. So I've been called almost every name in the book. We've had the police officers after us in the past. We've had Alberta Health Services after us, but we're not backing down. The Bible says either you serve God or you serve man. And we made our choice. We're not serving the gods of this land. We're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we made a choice early on that no matter what was going to come against us, we would stand for truth and righteousness. And I think one of the things that's really important for anybody that's watching here, we chose to start our church during the COVID mandates. I was fired from my previous church. I had become too polarizing. I had become the church was looking at it like I was drawing too much attention to what was going on in the government. The church had become worldly, where they were playing secular music in the church, and it was just falling apart. And so, you know, I couldn't stand that any longer. And I spoke to the church about it. And pretty soon I became too polarizing. And they said my views were polarizing by the way that I was talking about the premier. And so I was released of my job. I got fired. And we decided to start a church of our own in downtown Red Deer in the middle of the COVID mandates. But one of the things that was important to us when we started our church was that we weren't going to be a charity status, which I think in America it's called a 501 or something like that. I can't remember. But we're not a charity status. And I think that's really important for people to understand. I can't be bought and paid for because I'm not connected to the government in any way, shape, or form. And so we started our church without any financial backing like that. We had five people that sat around the table that agreed that we need to start a church in Red Deer that will preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ. I fully believe the reason why so many churches are quiet and so many churches are afraid to preach the full truth is because of the charity status. The charity status gives people a tax credit when they give. But I've looked all over through the Bible and I have not found that in God's word at all, that we get a tax credit when we give to the Lord. And so we made that choice early on that we weren't going to be controlled. And seeing Pastor Archer getting his charity status taken away back in 2008, I just said, we're not going to start with that. We're going to preach the full word of God, and we're not going to bow down to government in any way, shape, or form. And we've had so many attacks. People have attacked us. I've been slandered. I've had multiple death threats against my life. We've had voodoo dolls put on our property, satanic symbols, crystals put on our property. My life gets threatened all the time, but my life is worth nothing unless I serve Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And so that's the stance that we've taken. And we're so grateful for all that God has done in our church through this time. We started Street Church Red Deer almost 3 years ago, serving people outside in the middle of winter. It's minus 30, sometimes minus 31, and it's snowing. And people ask us all the time, well, why are you going to serve people outside when you can bring them inside? Well, we want to go where Jesus met people. Jesus didn't meet people just in the temple. He met people outside and he went to the people. And so we go out to the street corner, we preach the gospel, just like Pastor Archer does at Street Church Calgary. And we've seen God do miracles, people healed from heroin and fentanyl, people that have changed their lives and come to Jesus, because there is no government that's going to save us. And it's the same in America. You guys have a good government right now, but there is no prime minister. There is no government that's going to save us. The only one that's going to save us is Jesus. And we got to bring people to Jesus. The time is short. Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel and bring people to him and teach them to obey all of my commands. And surely I'm with you to the end of the age. Jesus is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We have nothing to fear, but the church of the Western world is terrified of persecution. We think because we get some Facebook messages against us or people say things to us that we're facing persecution, we're not facing real persecution yet in our nation, but it's coming here in Canada and it's coming to another level. Just today in the House of Commons, which is our federal parliament, they shut down debate on a bill. It's called Bill C9. And that bill is going to criminalize anybody that uses scripture in Romans, scripture in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. You could get thrown in jail if you preach from those books, and they're looking at expanding it even further. And so we're at a place right now in Canada, and you are in America as well, where we need to decide who we're going to serve today. If the government tells us that we can't preach out of these books, I'm just going to preach out of those books even more. And if that comes to play, and if that comes to be banned, my first sermon is going to be out of the book of Romans, because that's just the way that we are. We're not backing down. We're not backing down to government. Just like Peter, when they were thrown in jail. Remember when Peter and the apostles were thrown in jail? And they were thrown in jail because God was doing amazing things, and there was miracles happening all over. They threw them in jail, and then we know that the Lord broke them out of the jail, and the angel of the Lord spoke to them and told them to go and preach. Go and preach the word. Go and preach the word of life to the people. And they didn't back down. They went out and preached the word of God. And then when the council came after them, the council said, "We warned you not to preach in this man's name, and you're doing it again." And they said, "We must obey God rather than men." And to me, that's the only thing that's going to change Canada, and that's the only thing that's going to change America.
And I would guess, I don't know, but you can tell us, I would guess that despite the fact that you caused no small stir in Red Deer, that your church has actually grown probably tremendously, hasn't it?
Well, we started off with 5 people, and we've had people come and we've had people go. And I was just talking about this with Archer before we got on the call. It's interesting because we are a remnant. And a remnant is a small group of people. If you look at a remnant, the definition of a remnant, it's a small group of people that has survived a catastrophe. And I feel like this last 5 years, we've survived a catastrophe. And so people have continued to come and go. But we have a solid group of people that are in the church now. And my mandate is, and I think every pastor's mandate, pardon me?
Go ahead. That was just a technical thing.
Oh, our mandate as pastors, you know, a lot of people don't understand this. The church isn't for the lost. The church is for us to equip the saints to go and do the work of the ministry. That's the purpose of the church. The lost are welcome to come. We want the lost to come. We want them to meet Jesus in the church. But the church has to be equipped to go outside of the four walls and preach the gospel. And if the church does that, we'll change our nation, and your nation will change as well.
Amen. I cannot believe that my clock says what it says. We're going to just not look at that right now. I want you to tell us your story that actually caused me to get in touch with Pastor Art, and hopefully tell your story about your trip to India. But before we do that, I want to make sure anyone in the audience, questions or comments, now is your opportunity, because I don't think we're going to have another opportunity. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was you, Sean, that went to India, but you were going to go to around Assam area?
Mm-hmm. India? Yes, yeah, northern India.
Do you know that's where the song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus the Martyr," took place? Right there, 150 years ago. There's a story behind that. But one more thing, Pastor Art Pelosi, when can we start calling you Premier Art Pelosi?
Well, we had an amazing momentum, and Pastor Sean, like I said, he was in politics for 8 years, and we worked together, and we had a great momentum. I was elected, believe it or not, I know it's hard to believe it right now, as a leader of a political entity called the Independence Party of Alberta. And we were drawing such a huge crowd, multiple times bigger than the premier. And, you know, hundreds of people coming. I traveled around Alberta, and they got so scared that they torpedoed our party. And, of course, I was told that they don't want me to talk about God. They don't want me to preach about Jesus. They told me that politicians should not talk about those types of things. And I refused. I said, listen, without my Jesus, I have nothing to do here. Without Jesus, we have no hope. It's over. It's finished. So they did what they did. 9 people of the board in that political party that I inherited. So they were, you know, people that when I came, they were already there. They decided to remove me as the leader of the fastest growing political party in the province of Alberta for my birthday. During my birthday, I was kicked out from the party, and I drew, of course, thousands of people to this party. So at that time, I kind of decided, okay, fine, I don't think I want to have anything to do with it. But then our church members came to me and they said, Pastor, we know you're discouraged for what happened to you, but if we start another political party and you don't have to do anything, just sign it in the end, would you do it? And I said, you know, I thought they're not going to do it, but I said, if you do it, if you do all the paperwork and all that stuff, then sure. And, you know, I think we've broke some kind of a record because within, I think, 8 days, another political party was formed, Solidarity Movement of Alberta, which I am still leader of. So we did run in the provincial election. However, here's the problem. And we were successful. We removed the Minister of Justice that locked us like animals. Chandra, we removed a Minister of Health that murdered Albertans. Copping was his name, Jason Copping. We eliminated the Premier, Kenny, the wicked man that destroyed Alberta. And then we have eliminated as well a Minister of Finance from the COVID era. However, Albertans, Canadians as a whole, they have believed a lie, and they believe that in order to succeed and to keep the comfort that they are used to, you have to vote. You have no choice. You have to vote for the lesser of two evils. So they actually decided to vote for the so-called Conservative Party of Alberta. And then later they also did vote for the Conservative Party of Canada. Well, here's the thing. Conservative Party with Pierre Poilievre right now, he's the leader of the federal political party. He's the very one that was yelling and screaming, job the Canadians. Where are the jobs? We need, the whole world is vaccinated, but we need, you know, to vaccinate Canadians. That's the same man that came publicly and said, under my leadership, there will be no restrictions on abortion. In Canada, you can slaughter, you can murder, you can chop a baby's head off up to 9 months. There is no law. There are no restrictions. And he publicly said, I'll continue this. Vote for me. And the people did. Christians did. Good people. I cannot explain it to you what is happening. And in the province of Alberta, they did exactly the same thing. They did vote for the lesser of two evils, for someone that is betraying Canadians, is betraying Albertans, it's betraying our moral standards, faith, you name it, and they voted that person in. The person that promised that she's going to bring amnesty bill, that she's going to be bring parental rights and, you know, all kinds of different things, which she never did, and then they still voted for her. Again, so I kind of paused at that moment and I said, okay, God, I think that there is no hope for those people at this moment because they want to do it their way. You see, here is the thing, and I want the people to understand what I'm saying. They want to fix their problems politically with people, not with God. My approach, Pastor Sean's approach, it's very simple. We cannot fix what those people have been destroying for the past 50, 60 years without the act of God. We need an act of God to come in because without him, we don't stand a chance. There's no way we can tackle the globalists. There's no way. We don't have enough resources. We don't have enough power. All the seven mountains of influence are completely destroyed, infiltrated, taken over by the globalists. We don't stand a chance. So you need God to come in. And they said no. Now there is this big movement that some people are continuing. Well, we started with Pastor Sean years ago, the independence movement. But they told me, we want you at the table, but no, we don't want your God. Don't bring your God at the table. So I said that I'm not interested. I'm not going to waste my time and I'm not going to waste my money by building an organization that is destined to be destroyed. It doesn't.
Right.
Oh, so that's my, a little bit long answer to you. At this moment, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for God to tell me clearly what He wants me to do. I have some ideas. I know what to do, but I'm waiting for God to say either left or right, either go for it or leave for the whole thing to crumble. Because again, I said that at the very beginning, I just don't see Albertans crying out to God. Alberta is the province that we are living in. I just don't see the churches hungry for Jesus. I just don't. I don't see any willingness for revival in Alberta. And Alberta, remember, Alberta is supposed to be the most conservative, the biggest, Christian population within the Confederation. And even here, I just don't see a desire for a godly government. Actually, quite opposite. They're constantly voting for the same liars, pathological liars, people that are proven, they have a proven track record of lying, cheating, manipulating, and destroying. And still, listen, they are still jabbing our children. They're still murdering our children in the province of Alberta, and the Christians vote for those people over and over again. So I think we have to wait and see what God is going to do with this. And that's where I stand. I remember when we were doing this, and we had 20,000 people every single week showing up and thousands of people following. And we had a momentum. Unfortunately, Canadians have chosen comfort over the truth. What they want is, to be clear, they want what they had before COVID. They just want to go back to their merry lives. They want more money. They want the paychecks. They want golfing. They want hockey. They want entertainment. They don't want God. So we have to wait until there will be hunger for someone like me. And you got to remember, province of Alberta had two pastors for over 40 years. Manning and Aberhart were two pastors in the province of Alberta that they were pastoring churches, preaching every week, and then they were the premiers as well. But right now, Albertans don't want people like that. People like me that preach the truth openly are not really desired at this moment. What those people want is someone that promises them oil, money, silver, gold. When you're going to tell them, I'm going to restore your economy, you're going to be wealthier than you were before the COVID, then they will vote for you. They don't care about moral standards in most part. Okay, again, there is a remnant, but in the most part. And, Pastor Sean, I don't know if you agree with me here, but I see a remnant strong, but the whole population and the big church, the global church, if you will, is completely uninterested in doing anything for the kingdom of God.
Well, and you're fighting the political machine, but we're down to just about 6 minutes here. Pastor Sean, your trip to India was kind of going to be the focus of the show, so let's hear about what happened.
I'll tie it up as quickly as I can, but okay. I went to India this February, and I've been to India twice before. I love the people. I love the country. I've ministered there a couple times before. And so this time around, I got my Indian visa. I actually had to have another document just to go to Nagaland, close to Assad, which we were talking about earlier. Ray was mentioning that. I had to have a permit just to go there. So I got approved for that. My Indian visa got approved. And when I landed in India, I went to the counter to immigration. And when they started to put my information in, they were asking me questions. But as soon as they put my information in, I don't know what popped up on their screen. But I believe that they got a digital ID on all of us. And they knew who I was. They knew what I was doing. And instead of asking questions to me, they immediately started to interrogate me. And the man at the counter brought me over to the immigration office. He said, we need to bring you to the office right now. They confiscated my phone. They confiscated my passport. They confiscated anything that would say that I'm Sean Hamm. I lost my whole identity while I was there. And they interrogated me for 7 hours. 7 hours without water, 7 hours without food. They held my phone for countless hours. I remember when they first took my phone, and I knew that this wasn't going to end well for me. I have an Apple Watch. And for those of you that have smartwatches, when they weren't looking, I called my wife and I said to her, they're interrogating me right now. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if they're going to throw me in jail, but don't respond to this message because they have my phone. And if you text me back, they'll know that we're talking. So I'm just going to talk to you as long as I can while they're not looking. And hopefully they won't make things that much worse. But this went on for 7 hours where they would interrogate me. They would make fun of my faith. They would laugh at me. They would mock at me for my Christian faith. They went through all my phone, all my videos. Long story short, they trumped up some fake charge on me to not allow me entrance into the country. And this is crazy. Like, this is crazy. It's based on my Christian faith, the fact that I'm a pastor. This went on for 7 hours. They brought me to another back room in the airport where I was interrogated for another hour by somebody that looked like he was military. He was dressed in military from head to toe. I went through that for another hour before I was allowed to go back into the airport and be deported back to Canada. They seized my passport. They seized my boarding passes once they decide to send me back to Canada. And I was in the airport with nothing. I'm in a foreign airport. I don't have my passport. I don't have my boarding passes. And it's getting close to the time where I have to board to go back to Canada because they kicked me out of the country. And as it's getting closer, I still don't have anything. I don't have my passport. I don't have my boarding passes. And I met with an official right before boarding. And they said to me, you're not allowed to hold your passport. You're not allowed to hold your boarding passes. We are going to walk you onto the plane like a criminal. Before anybody else gets on the plane, we're going to walk you to your seat. You must stay in your seat until the plane takes off. Then when the plane lands, you're not permitted to leave the plane. You have to wait until everybody else leaves. Then we will walk you out and we will hand you over to the next officer. So my next flight was in Hong Kong. They handed me off to the next officer in Hong Kong. And this officer brought me through immigration and everything went well in Hong Kong, which is a surprise to me because it used to be a part of China. I got through in like an hour. Everything went fairly smooth. But I said to the guy, I said, I have done nothing wrong. I'm a Christian pastor. They kicked me out of the country because I'm a Christian and I was there to help people. I was there to help their own people. I was there to help orphans. I was there to help pastors. We were going to lead a pastors conference there. There was just a revival that happened earlier than that. 200,000 people attended a service in Nagaland near Assam. And so they were terrified that there's a revival going to break out. Anyway, they wouldn't let me touch my passport. They wouldn't let me touch my boarding passes in Hong Kong. And the guy that was there said to me, I've never seen anybody get treated like this. I have seen thousands and thousands and thousands of passengers for years, every day, and I've never seen somebody treated like you. It took until I got back to Canada where I was finally escorted to somebody else and they gave me my passport back and they gave me my boarding passes back. But I want people to know what is happening in India because what they're doing in India, they're going to try to do here in Canada. There's nothing new under the sun. If they're going to persecute me like they did there, they're going to persecute us here in Canada and here in America the same way. So we got to stand against this injustice and we just got to realize that it's not against us as people, it's against the spirit that is in us. But with God as our God, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And with God, we always win.
Amen. Amen. That was well said. All right. We are just about out of time here. Check out the websites for more information on Pastor Arthur and Pastor Sean, streetchurch.ca and streetchurchreddeer.ca. You can get all the information there and also check out Pastor Art's book, Lions Do Not Bow. So, guys, we could have done this for another 2 hours because we just barely scratched the surface, but I really appreciate you being with us here today. So thank you. And it's an inspiration, but it's also a warning for what we can expect coming. And I appreciate it. So, folks, please share this program put it on your social media, send it by email, get the information out for us. And Dr. Mike is going to be with you next week, but I'll be back in 2 weeks with Scott Shera as my guest. His new book is actually being released today. So we will see you then. Have a great week. God bless you.